Welcome to Let's Talk Micro. Hello, my dear audience. Welcome to the first episode of Season 4 of Let's Talk Micro. I am so happy to be here with you. I hope you had a great summer. Maybe you travel, maybe you went and saw some family, or maybe you just stay home and watch TV. It is all good. Maybe you had to work. I know I had to work. I also had some school. But at the same time, I did a little bit of traveling, and I went to Microbe 2024. And now we're back in full school mode, work mode. I want to share with you, I am on my last semester of my master's in microbiology. So hopefully I graduate in December. I am definitely very excited about that. And this summer, maybe you saw that we did something different here in Let's Talk Micro, where typically in previous years during the summer, I take like a month off where I don't publish any episodes. And this summer, you saw some episodes coming out in July that they were part of the Throwback Thursday series. And they were just older episodes that I think that sometimes, you know, they didn't get a fair chance. Because as I said before, as the podcast grows, then now maybe those episodes, they get more listeners and that content is more appreciated because more people are listening to it. But as always, thank you for the support. And remember that Let's Talk Micro is available on all podcast platforms from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, you know, it is on GoodPods, Pandora, whatever you listen to podcasts, you can find Let's Talk Micro. As far as social media, I am on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube as Let's Talk Micro, on X as Let's Talk Micro 1, on LinkedIn as Luis Plaza. I have a YouTube channel, which is Let's Talk Micro, and I have an email address, which is letstalkmicro@outlook.com. So please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, download episodes, and if the app allows you to do so, please go ahead and leave a review. And if you want to leave any feedback, any topic suggestions, you can definitely do those via social media or via email. They are always welcome and appreciated. Thank you so much for the support. And if you are looking to learn more about antibiotics, please check out www.learnantibiotics.com and the Learn Antibiotics book available on Amazon. These resources include cheat sheets, practice tests, games, and more, and they are being used by thousands of people worldwide and may be helpful for you or your colleagues. Great resources from Dr. Timothy Gauthier, a very passionate pharmacist. Well, as I mentioned before, during the summer, there were some Throwback Thursday episodes, and one of them was about fabimycin, an antibiotic candidate. And in this episode, Dr. Paul Hergenrother from the University of Illinois, he came to the podcast to talk about fabimycin. And he went over the mechanism of action, you know, the activity it had against organisms. Great episode. So that's definitely episode 62, which you can find it in the podcast. And that episode was published in 2022. But you can also find it under Season 3, under TBT, Fabimycin, an antibiotic candidate. Now, the reason that I mentioned this episode about fabimycin is because this episode, you know, the first episode of Season 4, Dr. Paul Hergenrother returns as a guest. So in this episode, Dr. Hergenrother, he joins the podcast to talk about lolomycin, which is another potential antibiotic candidate. And in the episode, he talks about the LOL system, which is a five-component system. He talks about the mechanism of action of lolomycin. He talks about some of the organisms that it has some activity against, such as E. coli and Klebsiella pneumoniae. He also talks about how it did against the gut microbiome. And that's something else he talks about. So one of the challenges with antibiotics is that they can affect the gut microbiota. And he talks about that. And he also talks about the challenges of creating a gram-negative only antibiotic. And when I say gram-negative only, so an antibiotic that targets gram-negative organisms. So I think all in all, you know, Dr. Hergenrother is doing a great job, doing a lot of research. He's been doing it for a while. And this is a great episode with a lot of great information. And I hope you enjoy it. So let's go ahead and listen to it. So those of you that are microbiologists and you know that with antimicrobial resistance, sometimes some of the challenges that we have, well, one of them is developing new antibiotics. And maybe you see that there are addition to existing classes, or you see some combinations, you know, like beta-lactam, beta-lactamase. So it's always when I see an article and about some research about novel antibiotics, you know, it's definitely very interesting. And so today I have a guest, and he was a guest actually a couple of years ago on an episode about fapamycin. But today we are here to talk about lolamycin. So with me today is Dr. Paul Hergenrothen. Dr. Hergenrothen, welcome to Let's Talk Micro.
Thanks, Luis. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure. Good to have you back again. So when you came in the first time, you kind of did an introduction. It's been a couple of years now. So maybe if you can just do a quick introduction about what you do for the audience, please.
Sure. One of the major goals of my lab is the development of novel antibiotics. We've spent a long time trying to understand the ability of compounds to get into gram-negative bacteria. Our major goal, I guess, in antibiotic development, I should say, is in the gram-negative escape pathogens that tend to be the most difficult to treat and where, as a community, we have the fewest options. So we worked for a while to try to understand what chemical traits a potential antibiotic might need to have to allow it to get into gram-negative bacteria and bind to some of those targets and kill those cells. We've kind of now taken that information and others to really implement it and design and discover novel antibiotics. And really, and as we discussed on the Fapamycin podcast a couple of years ago, are thinking a lot more about microbiome-sparing antibiotics. So these are antibiotics that kill the pathogenic bacteria, but don't kill the bacteria in our, say, for example, gut microbiome. So it's a big challenge, but an important one.
Definitely. And those of us, you know, that work in the lab, we're familiar, and we study the effects, and we learn about them. So, and we'll talk definitely more about that a little bit down the line. But yeah, there are definitely some challenges in the discovery of gram-negative only antibiotics. Maybe can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just related to the physiology of gram-negative bacteria relative to gram-positives. They retain many of the same components, and indeed, you know, one can think simplistically about gram-negative just having an additional outer membrane. And so things from the cytoplasm in are oftentimes very, very similar. Now, the outer membrane components typically are quite different or will be absent in gram-positive since they don't have that extra outer membrane. And so that is a lot of times where one can get selectivity for gram-negative bacteria over gram-positive. But, you know, I'll mention that it's quite unusual. So there are plenty of what, we can call gram-positive only drugs. Those are compounds that just kill gram-positive bacteria, usually by virtue of the fact that they don't get into gram-negative bacteria. And then there's broad-spectrum antibiotics, things that kill both gram-positive and gram-negative. It's really vanishingly few gram-negative-only compounds, you know, for the reasons I indicated.
Thank you for that. And one thing that you mentioned, right, so when with one of the effects sometimes, you know, with some antibiotics is that they have effects on the microbiota. So what is the key to developing a gram-negative antibiotic that does not disturb the microbiome?
Yeah, well, it's a big challenge. And again, I think the reasons are quite apparent. Those bacteria in our gut are, in many cases, very, very similar to the pathogenic bacteria. And so the priority in developing antibiotics, you know, over the last 100 years have been selectivity for bacteria over human cells, rightfully so. And that has been a major success story. And of course, we all know we have an arsenal of antibiotics that can be used depending on the time and the infection and the person. The effectiveness of that is dwindling, especially with drug resistance, which is why we need more. It's interesting. There's been large surveys done looking at clinically approved antibiotics and their effect on commensal bacteria, so bacteria in our gut. And essentially, all of them will kill gut commensal bacteria, like every single one. And we know this when, you know, we're all taking these antibiotics and it's really disrupting our gut microbiome. It's causing all kinds of problems. I mean, the most obvious is secondary infection from C. diff, which we'll talk about, I think, later. But There's colorectal cancer, irritable bowel disease, and even things like depression, motivation for exercise, all these things have been linked to gut dysbiosis. So I'm hopeful that the next wave of antibiotics, now that we appreciate this, the next wave of antibiotics will be drugs that are selective for pathogenic bacteria over these commensal bacteria. And I think that is quite an opportunity. Now, the challenge that you're asking is how do you do that? And that's very hard because the targets are quite conserved, but we can get into it a little bit about lolomycin and how we thought about that.
Excellent. So yeah, let's start talking then about lolomycin. And for the audience, as I'm asking some questions, there's a publication about lolomycin, which I'm going to include in the show notes. So you can, after you listen to the episode, you can check it in more detail. So let's talk about the LOL system. And as I was reading, I read about the LOL system and it being present in gram negatives. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, sure. It has different flavors and different bacteria, but typically it's a five component protein system. So it's called LOL, then A, B, C, D, and E are the five protein components located in the periplasm and responsible for lipid protein transport between the inner and outer membranes of gram negative bacteria. By virtue of that, in gram positive, those lipoproteins are entirely retained and anchored to the cytoplasmic membrane. So this lipoprotein transport is not required. So they don't have this system. So right there, you have a great target for a gram negative only or a drug that would only kill gram negative bacteria because the gram positive bacteria don't have this target. So anyways, it's been recognized for a while. It's crucial. Different parts of that component of that system are crucial for growth and life of gram-negative bacteria. And so there's been efforts made to target it, and really great papers and progenitor compounds from AstraZeneca, which were ones that we studied carefully, but also from others, thinking about how to identify antibiotics that could leverage and exploit the LOL system to kill the bacteria.
Okay. And then from then you eventually get to the compound lolomycin. So let's go ahead and talk about that. And also, what's lolomycin and what's the mechanism of action? Maybe you explain a little bit more for the audience.
Yeah, we again bounced off some reports in the literature where they had identified compounds. They didn't have really notable activity against gram-negative bacteria. But when one used strains that had the outer membrane compromised, for example, the compounds were quite potent. So we knew that they were hitting the target, and we really wanted to, first of all, optimize to a compound that worked against wild-type gram-negative bacteria, including the most difficult to treat pathogenic bacteria. And then use that compound to test this hypothesis that we could really get a gut microbiome sparing antibiotic. And so the interesting thing about the LOL pathway, especially LOL CDE, those last three components, is that the sequence homology of those proteins in pathogenic bacteria is quite high. So E. coli and Klebsiella, for example, very high sequence homology. But then when you look at it, the same components, LOLCDE, in gut commensals, now you have a dramatically reduced sequence homology. So those proteins look quite different. So the idea is that, well, based on that, we can find a compound that interacts with the pathogenic version, the version of LOLCDE that's in the pathogenic bacteria, but not the commensal. Okay, so that was kind of the arc of this story and discovery. So my student, Kristen Munoz, who's now a PhD, Dr. Kristen Munoz, worked to first identify this compound, the lolomycin, taking inspiration from its progenitor compounds and constructing a few dozen variants, and then looking for compounds that had wild-type activity and convincingly killed the bacteria through LOLCDE. So lolomycin was that compound, active against dozens and dozens of clinical isolates with all sorts of different resistance mechanisms. active in mouse infection models of sepsis and pneumonia, and that kind of set the stage for the key microbiome experiment.
Well, that's definitely very, very interesting. And then now that you mention, you know, a variety of organisms, and as I said to the audience, they can read the article in more detail and, you know, go over the results. But maybe if you can talk about some of the organisms that you tested in, and at the same time, maybe what type of antibiotic resistance they were exhibiting.
Yeah. So the really interesting thing about this target is that, you know, if the homology is similar to E. coli, then lolomycin will kill. If it's not, it won't. So you can really almost do a bioinformatic search and know whether the compound will be active or not, which is quite a luxury. So E. coli, Klebsiella pneumoniae, and E. cloaceae are three of the gram-negative escape pathogens. Those are the ones that had 90%+ target homology of the LOLCDE proteins. So those are the ones we really focused on. And those, CRE is carbapenem resistant versions of these, and is a, I think, the top resistant mechanism and priority pathogen of the WHO. So that's what we focused on, and that is what lolomycin works on. And those resistant mechanisms don't matter because it's working through a different pathway. So that was gratifying to see.
Definitely, definitely so. And yeah, you know, one note for the audience, and as we know, definitely we see when we talk about CRE, and I was talking to someone not too long ago, and I remember working in the lab, and before I used to see maybe one every now and then, and now there's so many. You know, we're definitely seeing a lot with different genes detected, even from areas that sometimes, you know, based on the United States, like they're not that prevalent here, but you still see them. So it's definitely very, very worrisome. Yeah. So, okay. So maybe just a little, if you can talk a little bit about so you did your testing, and then, so how did lolomycin perform?
Yeah. So, like I said, in the infection models, and these were done by my outstanding collaborator here, Professor Guy Lau, infection models, did a number of them that are in the manuscript, looking at all those pathogens, and then infecting mice, and then treating those animals, and showing a really great effect of lolomycin in its ability to save those mice, and also to reduce burden of bacterial burden in the lungs, for example. And so, with that efficacy established, you know, we could then go to really what was the, I think, the key part of this discovery and paper, which is the assessing its ability to spare the gut microbiome. And so first we looked at bacteria in culture. A lot of these are anaerobes, so they're a little bit more challenging to grow and work with. And so we showed in those experiments that lolomycin did not kill those bacteria, which was encouraging. Of course, there's many more bacteria in our gut than we have access to or can grow in culture. So the key was really to do this in mice. So again, Kristen and Professor Guy Lau did this where we treated mice with the different antibiotics. So lolomycin, obviously, but we used amoxicillin and clindamycin as control antibiotics. Those are widely used, and also like, as I mentioned at the beginning, like just about every antibiotic known to induce gut dysbiosis in mice, in dogs, and people. So the way this experiment works is you use the therapeutic dose of the antibiotic and then collect fecal samples from these animals for a month or so. And then really this experiment is possible because of advances in sequencing technology and that have been leveraged by others now that we're using here, where you can extract DNA and then sequence. And you can know then the distribution of the bacteria in the gut of those animals. And you see it before treatment, and then you see it after. And it's dramatic. So amoxicillin is in our the last figure in our paper. Amoxicillin and clindamycin, they just really wipe out the bacteria. You can see that just in the number of bacteria, but also in the composition plot. So that's the bacteria that will then kind of take over when your commensal bacteria are wiped out. And that's the dysbiosis part of gut dysbiosis. And so we showed that multiple different ways that, you know, it's dramatically different after taking antibiotics. And like I said, this type of experiment with clinically approved antibiotics have been done in people since it's such a easy experiment to do. And so then what we did was we wanted to understand then the ability of this of the gut microbiome to protect from Clostridium difficile infection. And again, this is a people that work in hospitals know this to be a big problem, where patients are treated with antibiotics, and then you have a dys gut dysbiosis, and something like Clostridium difficile will now, which was dormant or was kept in check, will now take over and becomes a big problem. And a lot of companies are trying to develop drugs to treat it, and it's a fecal microbiome plant transplant, as I'm sure you and your listeners are aware of, is a way that is now approved, right? And it is effective in some cases, but there's problems. And wouldn't it be great if we didn't have that dysbiosis in the first place? So in this experiment, again, we treated those animals at the clinical or the effective dose of the antibiotic, and then challenged with C. diff spores. And then again, you can look at fecal samples and see if that those spores were cleared or if the bacteria took hold. And again, it's quite dramatic, where amoxicillin and clindamycin, massive amounts of C. diff. But the vehicle or lolomycin, we didn't see that. So that was, you know, really, really striking and encouraging.
Indeed, definitely, you know, it sounds very that, you know, it sounds like it has a lot of potential. And you definitely mentioned so how it did with C. diff, which I was going to ask. Thank you for that. And then how it did. Maybe any, and of course, you know, drugs have they have side effects and things like that. Maybe you did were any observed when doing your testing with lolomycin?
No, not yet. I mean, I think to advance the compound, and that's something that we're hoping to do, and you know, eventually we'll work with industrial partners, I think, to do. One needs to really push the tolerability, right? To like you say, to see what the side effects are. I think for us, an aspect that we'd like to optimize is the resistance frequency. So I'm sure drug resistance is a common topic for you and your listeners. And this comes about for virtually all antibiotics, and just bacteria have the numbers advantage. And so a rare mutation event, you know, that bacteria does not get killed and then is expanded and is resistant, right? That's kind of how it works. And you know, so it's good to know what the resistant liability is when you're going into the clinic, and there's ways to mitigate it with dosing schedules and combinations and other things. Anyways, when we look at resistance frequency for lolomycin, we would like it to be better, meaning we'd like fewer and fewer bacteria to be able to resist the effects of the drug. And so we're working on other versions that we think could have a better frequency of resistance. I think as that gets optimized, then yeah, we can move to the detailed toxicology studies that are really required to make it a true lead compound.
Okay, well, thank you for that, and definitely some next steps for lolomycin still. And so, is there anything else that did you want to add about this for the audience?
I think that covers it. I mean, really, like I said at the beginning, I do think, and I'm hopeful that the next wave of antibiotics will be those that are gut microbiome sparing. I think it's just really been appreciated within the last 5 or 10 years, the effect of the really deleterious effect of basically all these antibiotics that we're taking. Of course, we have to take them, and they're life-saving drugs, but you know, some of these gut dysbiosis effects you can observe 2 years after patients stop treating them, stop getting treated, and stop taking antibiotics. So it's and then the ancillary effects of that are in some cases still unknown, and a lot of it is correlative, right? But there every week it seems there's really a major finding related to antibiotic-induced gut dysbiosis and how that is having a detrimental effect on patients. And so I think that so recognition of the problem is now there, which is great. And so I think these types of approaches where we're really being cognizant of it going into the drug development process, right, and trying to identify those candidates early on and moving those ones forward, I think there's a real opportunity there. And I do think ultimately such compounds will be better for patients.
Definitely. And for the audience, I invite you to check out episode 62, Fabimycin, an antibiotic candidate, where Dr. Paul Hergenbrother was a guest.
Well, Dr. Hergenbrother, you know, thank you so much for this. I was that article, you know, it was definitely very interesting, and I enjoyed reading it. And then when I saw your name on it, that was definitely a plus. Got a chance to talk to you again. So thank you so much, and thank you for the work you do. You've been doing this for a while, and we appreciate it. So thank you for taking the time to being Let's Talk Micro.
Thanks, Luis, and thanks for the invitation. Happy to be here anytime, and good to chat with you again.
My pleasure. You're definitely welcome. Thank you.
And that, my dear audience, is the end of this episode. I hope you enjoy learning about lolomycin. As always, I enjoy sharing this information with you. And as I said in the beginning, I am so happy to be back. A new season starts, always great content, so stay tuned. Thank you so much for the support. I will continue working on bringing some great information to you. So please continue doing what you do, which is such a great job. Continue bringing that passion. It is so important. But thank you for everything you do, from researching to doing the work in the lab. So everyone is doing a great job. So as always, stay motivated, stay safe, and of course, continue talking micro. Until the next time. Bye.